Good day and welcome, Philadelphia and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom and Tom Donahue Reports. Putting America first, new world order dead last. So glad you can join us. And let me just give you a quick heads up. Yesterday, those of you that listen through Philadelphia, the greater Philadelphia area, through WFYL, we were unable to bring you the same day edition for the third and fourth segments, which would include the programming after the bottom of the hour. The best of portions that you heard actually fit pretty nicely with the broadcast, but today you're going to hear in its entirety at the bottom of the hour the final two segments, the final half of this program, yesterday's report as it related to Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders, Trump and Hillary's speeches moving forward in this general election, now that there are two designated party presumptive, if not, quite frankly, the nominees representing their parties. So that incisive analysis and commentary will be coming at you at the bottom of the hour. So you didn't miss out on anything, and we do appreciate your patience and your support in all matters relating to this program. Freedom Forward we go. Well, let's talk about a few things in real time. And we're talking about the fact that all the pundits and all the media elite and all those in the establishment of both parties, you know, the higher echelon elitist, are trying to call the election or call into question those that are the nominees. Have said that they're already predicting that Donald Trump will be the worst candidate, that will destroy the Republican Party. Yeah, well, he might destroy it in a good way, like burn it down and rebuild it, remake it. It doesn't have to be remade in his image. But what we're dealing with here is the fact that these are the same hypocritical fools. These are the same moronic individuals that unconditionally supported every nominee up to this point. Where was the outcry and the outrage over John McCain or Bob Dole or Mitt Romney or even either of the Bushes? Even if it was tepid support, even if it was less involved support, they still voted and they still gave some level of support for all the nominees. Even if they weren't in favor of that nominee, it wasn't their choice, they disagreed on certain philosophies, ideologies, planks in the platform. But Donald Trump, if you look at what he's committing to, and believe me, he is committed to Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Michael Savage and various others, that he is going to do all that he can to set forward an agenda and try to accomplish that. Whereas these other candidates didn't commit to much of anything. How about read my lips, no new taxes? How about that guy? Remember him? Mm-hmm. How about the compassionate conservative? How about the maverick? How about Romney Care? Mm-hmm. So it's okay for all these others to not be ideal, to not be the most conservative candidate. But it's not okay for Donald Trump. So to me, it just proves more and more that Donald Trump is the ultimate outsider. Even though he was an insider as related to knowing how the political game was played in order to try to better or benefit his company and his particular professional goals and objectives. Now, saddening to see. It's one thing to criticize Donald Trump. I know he's a narcissist. I know that he's an egotist. I know that he can be bullish and abrasive and he can be, you know, unpredictable and sometimes even a little unhinged. But then again, you have the Romneys and the McCains and these others that they may have come across more gentlemanly. they may have come across more composed. And they certainly did when it came to debating their Democrat opponents. I can't not recall, except maybe Ronald Reagan, even though he was somewhat very gentlemanly, that actually raised their ire and put forward a challenge, a legitimate challenge, and was a fierce competitor. No, we just have not had that. And if you look at W. Bush Jr., he got mopped up in most of his debates. And the primary reason he did well was because Al Gore came off creepy. So did John Kerry. And they came across as elitist. And people said, you know what? I think I'm going to overlook the mangled language. I think I'm going to overlook how dumb he seems to be. Because he seems like a nicer guy. Seems like a more relatable guy. Imagine a debate, and we don't have to imagine too much further because it will be Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, unless Hillary Clinton is indicted and she does the right thing and steps down, or she's forced to step down. At that point, is it going to be Biden, or is it going to be Bernie, or is it going to be open convention and somebody else? And this whole thing about challenging Donald Trump, even to this day. And I was listening to a few minutes of Steve Dace, and he's not the brightest bulb in the drawer. You know, he's not the most educated guy. He's not the most talented guy. He thinks he is. He's not that sensational. You know, I love it when a host, they go from local to national, and then they try to become more entertaining. You're really not that entertaining. To each their own. But he went through this whole thing with music at it that people were asking him, well, now that Donald Trump is more than met the threshold and Donald Trump has become the presumptive nominee, you know, will you support him, at least on some level? And he went through all this stuff until finally it showed that you asked me 30 days ago, you asked me 2 weeks, and then finally in 1 hour from now, and it's still no. Well, let's look at some of the people that the Steve Daces and the Hugh Hewitts and various others have supported. And this whole holier-than-thou, this moralist, you know, this smug perspective persona that these people have, you know, to me is just utterly disgusting. What happens with many radio talk show hosts is people don't really know that much about them. Now, some of the TV personalities, well, more comes out. But most people, their lives are pretty private. Now, when Larry King was in radio, of course, we found out that he ended up being not a cat with nine lives, but a man with nine wives. And so, you know, some things do trickle out, but he was at a higher profile level. But you have to love these folks that, you know, they went beyond a one-hit wonder. They happen to be in states that, if you're in New Hampshire, you're in Iowa, you know, you can have a huge impact not only on the political process because of the first caucus or the first primary, but your show becomes a gateway to many of the nominees, and then you end up becoming the center of attention or attraction, and then you build upon that and you capitalize on that. But you have to love when these hosts, they act like it's God and it's country and it's capitalism and it's free enterprise, and you know, they act like they have it all figured out, that they know it all, that they even think that they're more profound than the founding fathers. The founding fathers would look at some of these dunces, some of these doofuses, and say, "Really? We'd have you sitting at the tables working on the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution? No, we'd have you. Can you please take out the trash? Can you go out and take care of the horses and clean out the barn, you know, the stalls?" Yeah, that's the way it would work. Okay, I'm Tom Donahue. More to come on Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports. Hold tight. Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports on WFYL Radio and our digital partners at Red State Talk Radio and also worldwide at Talk Stream Live. You know, this is what I've really been wanting to get to, and that is, and I just happened to catch it, I think it was on Fox News, and it was, yeah, and it was Megyn Kelly, another overrated talk show host, or anchor, news presenter, or whatever you want to call her. I think she's a style maven now with that peculiar haircut, and we'll just leave it at that, and wearing scarves around her neck. I don't know what it is. I guess she thinks she's a Hollywood socialite. I really don't know. You know, a glamour queen. But let me just... She had Bill Bennett on. And many of you that are talk radio fans have gotten to know Bill Bennett. And he was the education secretary under Ronald Reagan. And he was also, of course, the drug czar. Okay, so... And he was the first drug czar. But we're not going to comment on his performance in any of those particular positions. But he did have a extremely popular and, I would say, overall successful run as a talk show host on Salem Communications. I think people really got used to, and they were comfortable with him. He's a smart guy. You know, he's one of those guys that you look at him, and he doesn't clean up so well. You know, or actually, I should say, he's the type of guy that, well, he's a little bit sloppy. You know, he doesn't really care so much about his appearance in terms of his hair, or, you know, if his tie's crooked or his suit is wrinkled. He doesn't really care. But he's a smart guy, and he had tremendous political insights and instincts. And he was very loyal to the people that he served in office. And I think he gave, for the most part, most candidates a pretty fair shake. I don't know how much I should reveal, and I'm not privy to all this, but my understanding is that Bill Bennett was renegotiating his contract. The negotiations didn't go so well, and they decided they really didn't want to either match or... I don't know exactly what... actually, I kind of do know some of the numbers, and they're actually pretty extraordinary, but not as high as some of the other top-tier radio talk show hosts. But he's been at it for, you know, more than a decade, and the negotiations fell apart. And so he decided that based on whatever the negotiations were, that it wasn't sufficient. And he decided not to continue. And I guess Salem said, okay. So they made him kind of a professor emeritus, if you will. You know, he can still do some special programs and still have involvement, you know, kind of as an elder statesman, if you will, if you want to use it in political vernacular. He gave his blessing to Hugh Hewitt to fill that void. I mean, Hugh Hewitt had tremendous competition at 6 p.m. Eastern. And so I guess they didn't want that morning slot to be taken over. You know, that would be... they wanted a replacement that people would, you know, that they felt could secure that audience. And that could be a smooth transition, because it's a very important time, you know, in mornings, and they have a lot of stations that they own, a lot of stations that affiliate to that program. So they move Hugh Hewitt into the mornings. Well, Hugh Hewitt, you know, of course, he's got his own ideas, his own agenda, and the thing that's been most important to him is being a, you know, kind of a darling of the established media order. I mean, he even got the seal of approval and got worked into these CNN debates as a moderator. And I have to, I guess I could quote Laura Ingraham, but she said that I don't think he's a second rate, I think he's a third rate talk show host. Now, he's a smart guy, he's intelligent, he does a pretty decent interview. I'm not going to fault him for his entire skill sets, but I think that he thinks he's more important than he really is. I think he thinks that he's more influential than he really is. Just because you're a moderator, just because you appear on all the MSNBCs and the CNBCs and Good Morning America or what's Steppy's show, George Steppy, This Week with George Steppy, Stephanopoulos, that you are more important, that you have more clout. Because if you look at his rankings in talk radio, and he's been at it for a long time, they're not that great. I mean, they're okay. So he's not a top-tier host, I would say, based on talent, based on performance, and based on ratings. So now we have this guy that's basically trying to lead the mutiny. And I love it that these people are so holier than thou, that they, you know, that they're so offended by Donald Trump. Yeah, I've been disapproving of some of the things that Donald Trump has said and has done and all that. But I'll tell you what, talk about shattering glass ceilings, a political novice, a total newcomer, never held elective office, never ran for political elective office, and he's shattering the GOP records. And this is at a time when the Republican Party has shrunk. This is at a time when the Republican Party is in retreat. And Donald Trump is the only force that's actually infusing lifeblood into this party. I mean, the Tea Party helped to some degree in the last cycle. And a lot of the Tea Partiers are in favor of Donald Trump. There's no question. So back to this particular point about Hugh Hewitt. So Bill Bennett's on with Megyn Kelly, the Kelly file, whatever that's supposed to mean. And so on Fox News, she is asking Bill Bennett his thoughts about Trump and all that. I thought that Bill Bennett had great answers and handled himself well. You know, Donald Trump has proved that he's a formidable opponent, that he does have overall a conservative agenda, that he is willing to actually take it to the political opposition, and that he really feels that if Donald Trump is refocused, you know, kind of matures through this process, he'll do all right. But he just said, he goes, well, he said, I can't remember the exact quote, but, and I didn't know it was going to be as big a story today, but it was something like he was almost regretting that he'd given his blessing. It's almost like he wanted to repeal or retract. It's like they're talking about repealing their endorsements, peeling back the endorsements that some have given Donald Trump. That was basically what Bill Bennett was saying, that this was just the wrong way to approach Donald Trump and to subvert the will of the people. We have Hugh Hewitt that is actually talking about mutiny, that's talking about changing the rules of the convention and really trying to engineer the ouster of Donald Trump as the nominee. I mean, this is just outrageous. This is crazy. This is totally ridiculous. So in my view, if Hugh Hewitt thought that he was going to make a bigger name for himself, well, he's actually making a bigger fool of himself. And I love it when people say, well, we're doing it on principle. I don't remember ever any of these hosts, I don't remember any of these politicos ever standing up and doing what's right in terms of principle. It's always been about the party. It's so rare that ever happens. So for this pompous and misguided and completely disingenuous, he's not doing this for the good of the people. He's not doing this for the good of the party or the people. This is just him trying to steal the limelight. Well, let me just tell you this, that you're going to get a lot of heat for this, and you might get some spikes in the ratings just for people to tune in to see what you're saying and what you're doing. But other than that, you're going to be in free fall. You're going to be in decline. And I think that Bill Bennett is, I could tell, because he always acts like this very sophisticated. I mean, he may not dress that way. He may not have that appearance. But he's always a very dignified, very gentlemanly, very, he crafts and chooses his words wisely. He was very irked. And I'm telling you that there's going to be some heck to pay. There's going to be, I wouldn't want to be in Hugh Hewitt's shoes if he and Bill Bennett meet at a Salem convention or at a GOP function. I don't think it's going to go so well. And I don't think that Bill Bennett's going to hold back so well as it relates to the dressing down and the chastisement that will come. Okay? Yeah, the woodshed. So today I'm going to elect Hugh Hewitt in the Hall of Shame. And based on Bill Bennett's defense of Donald Trump, fair defense, not unconditional, I'm going to put him in the Hall of Fame. It's very interesting what's happening as it relates to Bill Bennett, Hugh Hewitt, both coming out of the Salem wing of talk radio. There was something I'm not sure I got to, and I was talking about Michael Smirkanich and the fact that, you know, he's a CNN, you know, contributor. You know, he's on those panels as it relates to politics 2016, the primaries. And he's a smart guy, and, you know, he's a lawyer. And what I, at the point I wanted to make, if I didn't make it clear enough, is that he was saying, Donald Trump, why doesn't his attorneys, which he, I guess he's looked into the legal case, why haven't they officially put in for a motion to recuse the judge, for the judge to recuse himself? And so if Trump and his lawyers have not done that, I think that that in some ways diminishes their credibility and their argument. So there should be a formal declaration and filing as it relates to recusing of this judge, which I do feel that in terms of his ties and background, that it may affect his rulings. It may affect his judgment or cloud his judgment. But again, the operative term is may. There's no knowing for sure. I guess maybe the way the judgments or the filings are written, that might shed some light on it. Donald Trump beats his own campaign prediction, reaching 1,536 delegates. That's right, 1,536, not 1,237. So he's 300 delegates, practically, probably will be by the time they do the final tally. Could you imagine that? 300 delegates over, and they thought he would fall short by maybe 100, you know, maybe 30. But he's 300. And all the folks that could have protested Donald Trump through the rest of the campaign and the rest of the primaries, there was very little protestation. There was, I mean, you can add up all the others. And again, if I was in the creepy Cruz camp or the cranky Kasich camp or any of the others, I would have voted that way. I mean, I've done it before. I mean, I would have voted for based on my conscience. There was no spike in the numbers. I mean, it was flat as could be. Yeah, flatlined. Trump scores historic 13 million GOP primary vote blowout with California included. Trump shatters Republican primary vote record by 1.4 million votes. Even with this party in decline, even with Democrats, more registered Democrats than Republicans, more independents than there once was when there was Reagan and the Bushes and various other, you know, and the other Bush, and Donald Trump has increased voter turnout, increased party turnout, and has shattered all the records. So what does that tell you? You know, if you can accomplish that with very little money spent and with no political experience, virtually no political team, just imagine what he's capable of doing if there is some unity and if there is some support and if there is some funding and he really starts to build upon this coalition. I mean, we're talking about a formidable force. We're talking about the sky's the limit. Okay, we're going to have to take a break. For those of you that have not heard parts 3 and 4, take 3 and 4 from yesterday, you're going to hear that because it ties together quite nicely in terms of wrapping up these primaries, wrapping up the speeches, wrapping up the commentary and analysis that relates to the 2016 primary contest. Take care, Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom.